from the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, this is Inside West Virginia Politics with Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. I'm your co-host, Mark Curtis. Amanda Barron will be along shortly. She's my co-host. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we want to honor those who served this country and died in service to our country. I want to introduce Steve Halstead. He is the chairman of the Mason County, West Virginia Veterans Memorial Committee. First of all, pleasure to meet you. Great to have you on the show.
Same here, Mark. Thanks for having us.
And it's a weekend, certainly one of the most touching weekends in this country's history, and we salute those who died in service to our country. But we also want to honor, going forward, veterans. And what you're here to talk about is you're the chairman of the committee, the Mason County, West Virginia Veterans Memorial Committee. Believe it or not, folks, there is not a veterans memorial in Mason County, West Virginia, but he's going to make it happen. He and a whole bunch of dedicated folks. Why do we need this in Mason County?
Well, it's to show respect and to honor our veterans. You say there aren't any memorials. My uncle's on a wall at the courthouse that listed the guys from World War II that didn't come back. But we're trying to consolidate all that in one central place where you can come and see who the Medal of Honor recipients were, who the guys were that didn't come back home, and the men and women that served our country.
Yeah, that's I was misnomer. There are no memorials, but they're scattered about. There are three soldiers or gentlemen who served in the military who are honored with a name on the bridge, and then there are some plaques in other parts of the community. This is the kind of thing to consolidate and bring it to a central location where everybody can come and visit it.
And it'll be an educational piece, too, for the kids from school to come down, say there's grandpa or uncle, and have a part in learning about the education part of the military.
We're also going to honor one of our major heroes from Mason County, Jimmy Stewart, who died in heroic combat in Vietnam. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. You're trying to raise money to build a statue in his honor, right?
Yes, we've already commissioned a Fisher statue out of Pennsylvania to do this memorial, the statue. The thing that we're putting that forward first is it takes about 14 months to have that completed. So we're looking at July of next year of maybe having the dedication service to this.
I want to mention to folks, if you're not familiar with this sculpturing firm, they're the ones that did the Hal Greer sculpture, the famed basketball player over in Huntington, and it's quite a work of art. Let me just hold up this. This is a pamphlet. You got put out a booklet about raising money and telling everybody with the location and what this is all going to be about. It's important we plug your website if folks want to donate, www.mcwvvm.org. And you're trying to raise a lot of money. This is not an inexpensive proposition, but it's important we honor our veterans. Where is this location going to be, by the way?
It's where the old Mason Pomeroy Bridge sat, and the Bridge of Honor is right next door to it. And we're having, if the governor's watching, we'd like for him to get after the Department of Highways and get this land secured for the town of Mason so we can move forward. We have a substantial contributor waiting to make sure this land is in the town of Mason's name.
And, you know, the governor watches this show. A lot of his staff members watch the show. We'll get in touch with them, and we'll see if we can kind of help cut through the red tape. I want to mention, you talk about donations. Mark Porter Ford, or Mark Porter runs, what, four different dealerships, and what has he pledged already?
Mark, amazingly enough, has pledged $2,500 from each dealership, which is a total of 10 grand, of course. And he's challenging everybody else to get behind this project and to make it happen.
You guys also have a very active Facebook page.
Yes, we do. And it's if you go there, we're honoring World War II veterans. We have a book called Young American Patriots, and it has pictures. Unfortunately, it's not all of our veterans from World War II. 2,200 went from Mason County.
And we have to mention, we're down to just under a minute, Steve, we have to mention Bill McFarland. He died at 101 last week. We were there when they honored him with his 100th birthday last year in New Haven in Mason County. He served in the Navy in World War II.
Bill's a remarkable person, and up until the day he passed, he was he called his son and said, "Hey, I got 24 tomato plants we got to get out." Now, this guy's 101 years old, you know, and he's coaching his son to come and help.
Yeah, he was something else. Like I said, I remember us being there on his 100th birthday last year. We're going to have another guest on. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Brent Clark is going to join us next week on this program to talk more about the Veterans Memorial in Mason County. But again, the website is mcwvvm.org, mcwvvm.org. And this is great. This is very timely. We honor our veterans in the state like no other state, and it's time that we have a centralized memorial in Mason County to honor our veterans. I want to thank Steve Halstead, who's the chairman of the committee. God bless you guys going forward. We're going to do some more stories on this. We're going to help you make it happen, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate the airtime.
You're very welcome. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Welcome back. As we think of our military and all of the people who have served in the armed services, we're so appreciative. And this coming weekend, there will be a chance for that appreciation to be on full display. Joined now by one of my favorite veterans and just a very kind human being, Ron Robleski. Thank you so much for joining us from Gallup Police today. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure always to talk with you, Ron. Every year you work really hard to put together a military and veterans appreciation picnic. It's coming up on Saturday, June 4th. Tell everybody who's invited.
Well, this is the 11th year that we're having this event. It's a free, everything's free, military veterans appreciation picnic. So any veteran and his guests are welcome, and we have some great food and great entertainment and a lot of activities going on throughout the day.
You can ride a World War II landing craft onto the Ohio River. People are going to be able to see that. World War II military aircraft flyovers. There's going to be military vehicles, weapons, and classic cars all on display. And I think one of my favorite things, and so many people's favorite things, I see you grinning right there too, is that Woody Williams will be there to do flamethrower demonstrations. Talk about that.
Woody is, of course, Woody's a treasure. He's just a great guy, and we're lucky to have him down here. Now, I just found out 2 days ago the guy with the flamethrower is not going to be able to make it, but okay. Woody will be there.
Woody's going to be there, and that's great, and he can talk about all that. If you've ever seen those flamethrower demonstrations, they are amazing, and we know that's what Woody did during the Battle of Iwo Jima. Such a hero to all, and a small known, maybe not a small secret, but that you're very humble. The base that is named after Woody, the naval base, is all because of work that you did behind the scenes to make that happen, and that's really special. I know Woody's very special to you and so many people.
That was a U.S. Navy ship.
Yes.
The USS Woody Williams. It's stationed over in the Adriatic, and actually it's in the Aegean Sea.
Love it. Yeah, I should have said it's a mobile base is what I was trying to say. It didn't come out right, but I think, that was such a beautiful dedication, and I know you worked really, really hard to make sure that
About 18 years.
18 years? I didn't know it was that long.
Took a while, but we finally got it.
So obviously, making sure that these members of the military are appreciated on any level, whether it's a mobile naval base or a picnic in Huntington, I think it's really special, and it speaks to what you do. Why is this so important to you?
Well, I just believe that we need to honor all those who served and risked their lives for our freedom. And these events that I put on are free because I don't think the veterans should have to pay to be honored.
And so you're asking people to make sure that they bring their military ID and bring lawn chairs. What else can people expect?
Well, just come down, have a good time, enjoy the food. We have great food. And we even have ice cream, door prizes, booths. We'll just have a great day and a good time.
Yeah, I know you're going to make sure that everybody has a great time. It's Saturday, June 4th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Harris Riverfront Park in Huntington. This is not the first time you've done this, but what kind of reaction do you get from these veterans and their families who come out, Ron?
This is the 11th year that we've done this, and the veterans, they're very appreciative. It's overwhelming the support that we get, and not only from the veterans, but from our community, the restaurants in the Huntington, Charleston, Ashland, Ironton, the whole area. They donate prizes, door prizes for these veterans. And hotels, I mean, just all these businesses, they just donate. They're just so generous, and we really appreciate them, too.
Well, you are generous. You're generous with your time and your spirit. I know your wife, Cheryl, is working with you to make sure all of this goes off without a hitch. And we hope people will, you know, if you can't participate in some way, maybe your business can, or some sort of donation to help out, because we know that our veterans deserve all of our adoration and support. And I'm grateful for what you do, Ron. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you, too.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Have a great week. You take good care of yourself. And everyone, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back to Inside West Virginia Politics, where I'm going to introduce you to a very special and interesting guest. I want to introduce Andrea Kiesling, who was a candidate for the State Senate District 8 as a Republican. Obviously, you know her from a lot of different headlines. Great to meet you in person, finally.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
You're welcome. We've done a couple of Zoom interviews, but there's nothing like sitting here face-to-face. We did a story this past week where we crunched the numbers. And, of course, a judge disqualified you from the ballot, and the Supreme Court upheld that. Nonetheless, any votes for you or any boxes where nobody checked in your race, those are called undervotes.
Right.
Well, it turns out in District 8 Republican, the undervotes won with 2,500 votes. Mark Hunt, who is the nominee, had, I think, 2,427 right. votes. The other two candidates kind of down in the weeds. Mm. By that extrapolation, do you think that in your heart of hearts you won this election?
I believe that the numbers show that, yes. Yes.
And how does that make you feel when you've been disqualified from the
right.
ballot?
Well, it's disappointing, Mark, but it's also encouraging. It's encouraging that many voters, at least in Senate District 8, share my values of faith, family, and freedom. And that just shows me that, you know, I believe that it's also indicative of the representation that West Virginians are looking for. And so I think it's encouraging in that it's time to continue this work, and the time is now. And it only further motivates me to continue working for the conservative cause.
Everybody I speak to, in fact, on both sides of the aisle, found you to be a fascinating, very competent, polished candidate, and say their big question is, do you think she'll run again? She was really good.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And I am always looking for ways that I can continue to serve the state in meaningful ways. And so I believe if the opportunity presents, I would love to do that. So this may not be the last election I ever win.
Do you think, do you look and say, maybe I should try House of Delegates next time, or maybe take another swing at the state senate or county commission, or there's some big statewide races coming up in
sure.
2 years too.
I tend to shoot for the stars when I do something. I want to do it big. So like I said, I'm not sure what the next opportunity will be, but I'm always looking for a way to serve, and I want to do it in a big way.
We got to this point, and the reason you were disqualified from the ballot, you were born and raised, went to high school, Roane County High School,
yes.
I believe, and went to West Virginia Wesleyan, and then got your master's at Liberty. So you're a West Virginia girl through and through, West Virginia lady now. But you moved out of state for a while. You were in between Charlotte, I think about 8 years in Charlotte and 2 years in Minneapolis. And I know you registered, you voted in North Carolina from 2012 on to 2020.
Correct.
And so the ruling was that you were not actually a citizen of this state for 5 years consecutive up to the election. Did you just not understand that rule when you filed? And election stuff can be complicated.
Nope, I absolutely understood the rules and the regulations, and I spoke with my team about it. Everybody was on the same page, and really it's up to interpretation. And there is, in West Virginia, the definition of residency in large part has to do with intent. And my intent was always to move back and, you know, be very much tied to West Virginia. Even during the time that I did live in other states, I was very much connected to West Virginia, and I've always been a West Virginian. The reason I moved moved out of states was to pursue opportunities that were just not available in West Virginia. Now, that is something that I want to continue work towards, is bringing the best and brightest back to West Virginia. Our people in West Virginia are the best and most important assets that we have in the state. And so that is where my work is going to focus on for the foreseeable future, are bringing those people back, bringing them home to West Virginia.
I wanted to give you the opportunity to say your piece and say what you want to say to the people who actually came out and checked a box or cast a ballot for you.
Well, I want to say thank you, of course. I have just received an incredible amount of support, encouragement, prayers, and votes. And that's something that I am absolutely humbled by and appreciate just enormously. So thank you to all of the voters and all of the support in West Virginia. And I hope to have the opportunity to serve again.
We're down to a minute. I've got to ask you this. You're the mom of three young boys, including an infant who's, 16 weeks old. How much of this did you do for them and why?
Every bit of it I did for them. They are the three reasons that I ran for office. It's incredibly important to me to protect their futures and the children of our state and make sure that they have incredible opportunities as children and growing up in West Virginia. So absolutely all of it was for them and the other children, West Virginians' children.
You have a website, right? Plug it.
Yeah, so it's AndreaKiesling.com. I'm also a business coach, and so I do a lot of work in the state here as well. So please feel free to check it out.
Yeah, she's a small business owner, an entrepreneur. You know, you're a lot of political consultancy. You're an all-star. You check all the boxes. We want to thank Andrea Kiesling for joining us. And I have a sneaking suspicion your name's going to be in the news in years to come. So we'll see you next time.
Thank
okay?
you, Mark. Thank you.
And we'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Welcome back. When it comes to health care, West Virginia Health Right is always making sure that people have access, and they're doing that in a very big way at the beginning of June. I'm joined now by Executive Director of West Virginia Health Right, Dr. Angie Settle. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Amanda.
It's my pleasure to have you on the show this week. You guys do such wonderful work, and I want to start out by talking about the clinic, the RAM clinic. Tell everybody what RAM stands for.
Okay, so RAM stands for Remote Area Medical. It's an organization that comes out of Tennessee, and they go around the world and around the United States and do these special pop-up clinics, and they have the equipment and everything that they bring in. And then we are the community host group, so we're responsible on our end to get all the volunteers and, you know, get hotel rooms for their group and, you know, details like porta potties and security guard and all of that to put the actual clinic together and get all the volunteers ready.
So, you know, there's a lot behind the scenes. It's more than just medical. We'll get to the medical part in a second. As you guys plan for this, how can the community help you guys out to make sure that everyone who's going to be here to help West Virginians has what they need?
We're looking for volunteers, lay people, but also vision doctors, dentists, medical providers, dental hygienists. It's basically 2 days of what West Virginia Health Right does 365 days a year, but kind of on steroids. So we have about 400 volunteers that come and provide free dental, medical, and vision care. And they even have a vision mobile unit where they make glasses on site.
Wow.
So both days. It's on June the 4th, Saturday, June the 4th, Sunday, June the 5th. And it's basically first come, first serve. No questions asked. We don't ask if you have insurance. There's no money involved or anything. It's basically just come, you know, show up, have a little bit of patience, and, you know, you can get a lot of great service. And it's by local providers and people with their fellow West Virginians that are, you know, there for the right reasons.
Absolutely. What are some of the success stories that you've heard from people, you know, maybe as they're leaving the clinic over years past,
yeah,
just about what it's meant to them?
Well, we actually, one story that I heard, well, one quick story, we had a lady that came that was actually a truck driver, and she slept in her cab overnight, 24 hours before, to come and get diabetes care. Another person came through and had a vision exam, you know, think they were just going to get a routine eye exam. And they actually were diagnosed with a very rare retinal cancer, and it was caught early enough, and we were able to successfully treat them. So that was, you know, that's two instances. That second person, especially, you know, think about a screening event like that. They, you know, what the result could have been had it not been caught early. And this is an opportunity to do that. So A lot of people have insurance, but high deductibles, and they don't take care of preventive care. So here's a great chance to get a good eye exam, get glasses, have a dental exam, extractions, fillings, medical care, a lot of vaccines and things like that, and not, you know, not have to pay copays or out of pockets. And we really want to help people in need. So it's a great event to do that.
Yeah, it's a great event. How can people, if they can't be a part? I know HealthRight is always very generous to the community, and you would probably welcome the generosity of people who might want to help financially as well, I would imagine.
We do pay for, HealthRight has to pay for, so it ends up it's about $10,000 worth of hotel rooms for the staff from RAM to come in, but they can always just call me directly at 304-414-5931 at the clinic. And we have a place on our website, www.wvhealthrate.org, where you can donate. You can just put on their RAM. Any volunteers that would like to volunteer for this event, you have to sign up with RAM. They keep track of it, make sure everybody's got all the things needed, certifications and everything. But it's ramusa.org.
Okay.
And you just want to toggle down to the Charleston Clinic, which is coming up again June 4th and 5th, and starts at 6 a.m. in the morning. And again, a lot of great care. I think last time we did about 1,000 people.
Wow.
We took a couple years off because of COVID, trying to make the timing right. But we're excited to be back at it and hope that people will come out. We don't want to scare people off because, you know, it's first come, first serve, but they've got really good protocols in place. And, you know, we're taking so many at a time. So it moves pretty quickly.
Absolutely. So encourage people to come out and get that help. And if maybe you just want to figure out a way that you can help, whether it be your time or financially, no doubt that you guys do a lot of good work at West Virginia HealthRight, and this is just another extension of that. So thanks, Angie. We appreciate it. We'll have to have you back so you can talk about all the other things you guys are doing as you continue to expand.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Inside West Virginia Politics. You can hear more from state, local, and federal lawmakers each and every Sunday morning on WOWK-TV in Charleston, WBOY-TV in Clarksburg, WDVM in the Eastern Panhandle, WTRF in Wheeling, and WVNS in Beckley. You can also find a new episode of the Inside West Virginia Politics podcast right here on this feed every Monday morning. If you like the show, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Inside West Virginia Politics is a Nexstar Media Group production, hosted and managed by Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is recorded and edited inside the studios of WOWK-TV in Charleston, West Virginia. All rights reserved.